Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. In this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1080, I will have two segments. First, I will talk about the decision by the United States government to allow apartheid Israel to enter its visa waiver program, and the strong opposition to that waiver by numerous organizations and particularly U.S. citizens who are being discriminated against when they try to enter Israel. I will tell you about the new lawsuit filed against the U.S. government regarding this, and I will share with you the reactions and statements from representatives of different prominent organizations. During the second segment of the show, I will air some of the remarks delivered at the 2023 Historic Palestine Rights Festival held at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia that was very successful despite the efforts of Zionists and their supporters to cancel the festival. The apartheid state of Israel has been attempting for years to be admitted into the United States visa waiver program. That program enables most citizens or nationals of participating countries to travel to the United States for tourism or business for stays of 90 days or less without obtaining a visa. Back in 2013, attempts by apartheid Israel to participate in the United States visa waiver program were defeated, mainly because of the efforts of American Arab organizations and Muslim rights organizations citing Israel's discriminatory and restrictive immigration policies. Well, apartheid Israel is attempting again and has requested from the United States administration to be entered into the U.S. visa waiver program. One of the problems with that is Israel's long history of discriminating against U.S. citizens who try to enter Israel. So if a deal is made for apartheid Israel to enter the U.S. visa waiver program without an explicit guarantee of equal treatment, Israel would become the only country participating in the U.S. visa waiver program that would be allowed to discriminate against Americans due to their ethnicity or faith. None of the other 39 nations that participate in the U.S. visa waiver program have been granted a similar exemption. Over the past couple of months, several Arab American, Muslim American, and other organizations, legal experts, civil rights organizations, have called on the U.S. administration to not admit apartheid Israel into its visa waiver program because of Israel's discriminatory measures. It is worth noting here that Israel routinely refuses to allow Americans of Arab ethnicity or Muslim backgrounds to enter their country or the occupied Palestinian territories it controls. According to the U.S. State Department's website, some U.S. citizens of Arab or Muslim heritage, including Palestinian Americans, have experienced significant difficulties and unequal and occasionally hostile treatment at Israel's borders and checkpoints. Additionally, U.S. citizens have been denied entry to Israel and the West Bank for involvement in and/or expressing support on social media for the BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement. It is clear that such a discriminatory practice falls well short of the intent of visa waiver program participation and provides clear ground for rejection. When news broke on September 26, 2023, that the U.S. government was going to admit Israel into the U.S. visa waiver program, despite Israel's failing to meet all of the legal requirements for admission, the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, ADC, filed a federal lawsuit in the Eastern District of Michigan against the Departments of Homeland Security, DHS, and State in defense of civil rights for Arab and Palestinian Americans, and is asking the court to halt further actions to admit Israel into the waiver program. The court filing by ADC demonstrates that DHS is not following the law by defining the meaning of reciprocity, a central tenet of the visa waiver program, which requires that participating countries treat all American citizens equally. According to ADC, in doing so, DHS is improperly assessing Israel's eligibility and taking what is known as arbitrary and capricious action. ADC revealed that even within the new policies announced by Israel, They are a myriad of ways that American citizens are discriminated against, and that separate and unequal system has no place in a U.S. program. Among these are the continued discrimination against Palestinian Americans from Gaza, the restrictions on how Palestinian Americans can cross checkpoints into the occupied West Bank, the inability of Palestinian Americans to rent cars, and the invasive and inhumane treatment of Palestinian Americans when they try to return to the U.S. According to ADC, in doing so, DHS is improperly assessing Israel's eligibility and taking what is known as arbitrary and capricious action. ADC National Government Affairs and Advocacy Director Chris Habibi said, quote, "Israel's track record of discrimination against Arab Americans, particularly Palestinian Americans, is neither short-lived nor subtle. For the Biden administration to welcome Israel into this program is not only a blatant endorsement of this discrimination, but also an affront to the expected basic standard of universal equal treatment of Americans, regardless of their ethnicity." Unquote. In addition to the lawsuit filed by ADC, civil society organizations representing tens of thousands of Palestinian Americans, Arab Americans, Muslim Americans, and allied communities are expressing deep concern and outrage regarding the United States' decision to admit Israel into the U.S. visa waiver program. The organizations issued a statement on September 27, 2023, saying, quote, "We have no faith that Israel will fully abide by the rules and regulations set forth by the visa waiver program, especially after being officially admitted. Many crucial questions about the decision's ethical implications have been raised, given Israel's long history of discriminatory actions against U.S. citizens and Palestinians in contravention to the program's requirements and international law. These ethical concerns underscore the importance of not disregarding a country's past behavior when considering such privileges." The statement by the organizations also says, "We call upon the U.S. government to reconsider its decisions and prioritize the reciprocity, security, and international cooperation principles underpinning the visa waiver program. The admission of any country into this program must be based on precise adherence to the established criteria and a demonstrated commitment to the program's core values." Nihad Awad, Executive Director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, CARE National, said, quote, "It is clear that Israel is not currently in compliance with the visa waiver program admission requirements, and the Biden administration must not rush to admit Israel into the program at the expense of reciprocity for all U.S. citizens." CARE and human rights organizations strongly urge Secretary Blinken and the Biden administration to heed the concerns raised by Palestinian and Muslim Americans and to deny Israel's admission into the visa waiver program until it can fully comply with all of the requirements and not harass and discriminate against American travelers. Unquote. Abid Ayoub, Executive Director of ADC National, said, quote, "By endorsing a tiered system for U.S. citizens, our government has given its tacit approval to Israel's prejudiced policies and apartheid actions. This decision broadcasts a stark message. Not all American passport holders are viewed equally. ADC does not accept that message and will be using every available option to fight it." Unquote. Stephanie Fox, Executive Director of Jewish Voice for Peace Action, said, quote, "The Biden administration's decision to allow Israel's entry into the visa waiver program is an outrageous endorsement of the Israeli government's systematic discrimination against Palestinian Americans and a reward to the most extremist racist government in Israel's history. Once again, the U.S. is singling out Israel for special and exceptionalized treatment at the expense of the rights of Palestinian Americans. Jewish Voice for Peace Action calls for the immediate reversal of this decision." Unquote. Ahmad Abu Znaid, Executive Director of the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, said, quote, "We learned from the civil rights movement the fallacy of separate but equal. Today, we are obligated to reject Israel's inclusion into the visa waiver program because separate is never equal. Palestinian Americans' tax dollars are just as green, our passports are just as blue, and our rights are just as precious as any other American." Unquote. By the way, Ahmad Abu Znaid will be my guest on this program next week. You're listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston since 2002 and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Palestine Rights Festival, the only North American literature festival dedicated to celebrating and promoting cultural productions of Palestinian writers and artists, held its 2023 festival on September 22nd through the 24th at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. A bit more information, Palestine Rights brings Palestinian culture workers from all parts of historic Palestine and exiled diaspora together with peers from other marginalized groups in the United States. Crossing multiple borders, geographic, linguistic, and cultural boundaries, writers, artists, publishers, booksellers, scholars, musicians, and thinkers hold conversations about art, literature, and the intersections between culture and power, struggle, politics, climate change, sexuality, human rights, animal rights, food sovereignty, and more. The festival boasts panel discussions, workshops, music, children's programming, networking, readings, dance, theater, cooking, oral storytelling, and other creative expressions of culture. The 2023 festival was held September 22nd through the 24th at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, and it was a historic and successful festival with more than 1,500 registered attendees. Palestine Rights Festival was historic and very successful despite the efforts of Zionists and their supporters to cancel the festival. I'm going to share with you today some of the remarks delivered at the festival and plan on sharing more remarks and spoken words delivered at that festival during future episodes of Arab Voices. Let's listen in, and we begin with the intro remarks of Amir Zahar, Palestinian-American comedian, activist, and author, who was the MC for the event.
My name is Amir Zahar. I'm very happy and proud to be here with you opening the Palestine Rights Festival right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I grew up here. We grew up with a small community, but a very strong Palestinian and Arab community here. Now, we are here. I don't know if you're paying attention in the last couple of weeks, but they've been trying to get rid of us. They've been trying to shut us up. You know, we Arabs are here. I'm very happy that our interpreter is here, but we use our hands when we talk anyway. They've been trying to get rid of us. They've been trying to shut us up. Now, there's only one reason that you try to silence the other side. That's because you're lying. If you're not lying, you don't care what the other side says. See, that's what we all hold together in this room today. That's why we are very powerful people in a very powerful space, because we have the truth. See, having the truth is a very powerful thing. The power of the truth is a very beautiful thing. When you have the truth, you don't need as many weapons as the other side has. You don't try to silence. We never try to silence them. We like it when they talk. They try to shut down my Instagram and my Twitter, and everyone's here is social media all the time. They try. My social media is basically full of quoting them. We like it when they talk because we know that we have the truth. When you have the truth with you, it's a very powerful thing. So you are all here today, not just celebrating Palestinian history and celebrating Palestinian literature and art, but you are celebrating and possessing the truth. That is why you are all here today. So before we get started with all of our ceremonies and before we get started with everything, I want you to look at the person next to you on your right and your left and tell them, I'm happy to see you. Now I want you to look at these people and tell them, I'm proud of you. Now I want you to look at these people and tell them, I love you. Because when you have the truth, you are full of love. And that is what this room is full of today. They try to say that we are full of hate, but they don't know that Palestinians and Arabs and the people who support us and stand with us, we are not full of hate, we are full of love. We do not hate anybody for who they are. We hate occupation. We hate apartheid. We hate racism. But we don't hate people. We love everybody. Our movement of Palestinian justice from the day it started has been about love, and it's been about truth. And that's why we can smile all the time. No matter what is going on in Palestine, I'm a comedian, as some of you might know. That's why we can smile all the time, no matter what's going on, because we have the truth. And we Palestinians are a very resilient people. We are the most successful ethnically cleansed people on planet Earth. If you meet a Palestinian, they don't just work in the garage, they own the garage. They don't just work in the hospital, they are the chief of staff of the hospital. And people ask me, why are Palestinians so successful? I tell them it's very simple. We don't have plan B. We cannot mess up and move back to our country. It doesn't work like that for us. So we're very successful. And we work very hard and we never go on vacation. And people say to me, why don't Palestinians go on vacation? I tell them it's very simple. We don't like to leave our house for more than 2 or 3 days. We remember what happened last time we did that. And they said the old would die and the young would forget. And that's not true. If you look around the room, there's some old people still walking around, telling you stories from 1948. And there are young people here who are 5, 6, 7 years old that will tell you the name of the village that their grandparents were ethnically cleansed from. So we are not going anywhere. And that's what this conference is about. And that's why we are here. And so now let me introduce to you the founder of this festival, the woman that she leads a team of very dedicated people, but this is her vision, and this she is the reason that we are all here. I have had the pleasure of knowing her for close to 30 years now in this very beautiful, close-knit community of Philadelphia. And you all know her, and you all know you are here because of her. She is our queen here in Philadelphia. She is one of the people who makes sure that we are always proud of who we are. Of course, she's a world-renowned author, and we all know that. And she's a great person, but she's also a good person. And she is here now today. Please help me welcome our sister and the founder of this festival, Susie Abulhawa.
Thank you. Thank you. So I've been waiting to say this for a really long time. Welcome to Palestine Rights. It has been quite the journey to get here, fraught. I'm sure many of you have read a lot of articles about what we have gone through, a lot of roadblocks and difficulties, a lot of logistical and funding problems, but mostly racism, bullying, and venomous vitriol of those who cannot bear expressions of our humanity. But we're here, and it's worth everything we've gone through together. I'm going to ask you to bear with us because we have folks who need to go over some housekeeping items. And with all the accusations about the festival, we have a few things to say and many people to thank. I will speak again later about some of those things. For starters, the organizers, with the exception of a couple part-time paid coordinators, the organizers of this festival are all volunteers. They invested endless hours of work, coordinating, meeting, planning, designing, inviting, curating, putting out fires, applying for funding, sometimes crying, and so much more over the span of a year. Sosan Imadi Darraj, Huda Fakhreddin, Laura Al-Bast, Ala Al-Aqra, Tala Al-Fahmawi, Huwaida Arraf, Faisal Saleh, Noor Qutayan, Ibrahim Al-Azze, Bill Mullen, Ahmed Isa, Malini Johar Shuler, Rana Sharif, Bryce Patterson, Marie Kelly, Jinan Abushtaye, Ibrahim Bekri, Max Dugan, Adam Shapiro, and dozens more volunteers, too many to name. Most of them are wearing volunteer shirts. Please feel free to show them some love when you see them. We received a good number of grant award letters, but mostly we got rejection letters. The anti-Palestinian racism we encountered was sometimes palpable and always wounding, which makes the funding we did receive all the more meaningful. We are immensely grateful to those who do not shy away from funding endeavors of Palestinian humanity and whose generosity made it possible for us to do this work. They are listed on the back of the program book, but I particularly want to highlight the major funders, including the Abd al-Muhsin Qattan Foundation, the Yaffa Foundation, the Palestine Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, who gave us the most money, the Sam Mazza Foundation, the McMillan Stewart Foundation, Sparkplug Foundation, the Violet Jabara Foundation, the Sachs Program for Arts and Innovation, the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, the Wolf Humanities Center, the Kelly Writers House, the American Friends Service Committee, and the Law Office of Raja Saade. We're grateful to our speakers whose brilliance and creative productions are the reason we're here. Most of all, we're grateful to all of you in attendance. I know I can speak for all of the organizers when I say that seeing your beautiful faces filling this big hall is all the reward we need. I know so many of you have actually flown from all over this country to be in attendance. So welcome to you all, speakers, organizers, volunteers, sponsors, partners, attendees, and in the spirit of Malcolm X, welcome to those of you who have come to surveil and monitor us. We're sure you're here and you're welcome as long as you do not attempt to disrupt or sabotage any part of this festival. Palestine Rights is meant to be an inclusive space for anyone who wishes to engage with the stories, heritage, culture, history, and the realities of Palestine, a storied place of an ancient people. As we gather in the homeland of the Lenni Lenape peoples, understanding that we are settlers here and that the first order of decolonization is such an acknowledgement, I'd like to invite my sister Trinity Gumbi Guaido, member of the Delaware Nation and featured speaker at this festival, to deliver the land and country acknowledgement, which is written and ratified by the Lenape Hoking.
Wilikishku Ognitis, Delawensi Trinity Gumbai Guido, Ne Lenape Bukumni, Anadarko, Oklahoma, Bukumni Pukuwankuwichuk. Hello, relatives. I hope you all are having a great day today. It is my pleasure to be here with you all. My name is Trinity Guido, and I am from Anadarko, Oklahoma, and I am Lenape from Anadarko, Delaware Nation. And I come from the Turtle Clan. Today, I'll be giving you guys the land acknowledgement that I have prepared for you all. So we acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the ancestral homelands of the Lenni Lenape people, known as Lenape Hoking, whose presence and resilience in Pennsylvania continues to this day. We take this opportunity to honor the original caretakers and stewards of this land and recognize our responsibility in acknowledging the histories of land theft, violence, erasure, oppression, and genocide that has brought us and our organization here. Through forced removal, the Lenape were split into various communities as a means of survival. Because of this, Lenape people come from five federally recognized tribes that are known today as the Delaware Nation of Oklahoma, the Delaware Tribe of Indians, the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians in the United States, and the Delaware Nation at Moraviantown and the Munsee Delaware, both of Ontario, Canada. Through education and acknowledgement, we can all play a part in uplifting these collective community voices so that they can build an unburdened future for the successes of the success of the next seven generations on Turtle Island. Thank you. Wanishi.
So thank you, my sister Trinity. In furtherance to acknowledgement of Indigenous displacement, we want to also highlight the displacement of longtime residents of this area, which has been and continues to be gentrified, starting with changing its name from Black Bottom to University City. We acknowledge and salute the struggle of the UC Townhomes residents to hold on to their homes and all others struggling to keep their homes in this increasingly gentrified city, including, among others, those fighting to save Philadelphia's Chinatown neighborhood. Displacement and replacement of populations is all too familiar to us. I'd like to now invite my colleague, Huda Fakhreddin. She's a key festival organizer. She's a professor of Arabic literature in the Department of Near Eastern Languages and Civilizations. She's the director of the Wolf Humanities Center Forum on Revolution. She's the author of many books. She's a poet. She's a quiet warrior, a friend, a sister, and together with student groups, the reason we are here on this beautiful campus. Huda.
لا يقيم العزيز في البلد السهل ولا ينفع الذليل النجاء لا يقيم العزيز في البلد السهل ولا ينفع الذليل النجاء The noble never live in easy lands, and flight will not avail the lowly. A line of poetry composed by the Arab poet Al-Harith bin Hilliza more than 1,400 years ago. Life is never easy for the light, for the noble and the just, he tells us. And it's not worth living without dignity. This is the legacy and the tradition to which Palestine and Palestinian literature belong. And this line has been ringing in my ears for the past 3 difficult, disappointing weeks. لا يقيم العزيز في البلد السهل ولا ينفع الذليل النجاء. And how difficult and treacherous our paths are always in this country and its institutions. But we did not cower, and we have made it to this day. Despite the discrimination, the racism, the double standards, we have made it to this day triumphant, even if with nothing but knowledge that we have stood our ground with dignity and integrity. Thank you for being here, you who have traveled from across this country and around this world, and especially from Palestine. And you who have been here on the ground, volunteering, organizing, planning, and facing the noise and the distraction. And you who are just curious and willing to listen. Susie, يعني Suzanne Abul Hawa, I am grateful to you for inviting me on this journey. It is my honor to have played a role in bringing this force of a festival to the Penn campus. And it was not an easy feat. As always, Palestine has had to jump through unnecessary hoops, had to fight, to exist, to be named. And I am happy to say that this battle, at least here today on the Penn campus, this battle for voice, for agency, for literature and the arts has been won. All thanks to this awe-inspiring, relentless team of volunteers. Hosting Palestine at the University of Pennsylvania has gifted me a small piece of home and community at this institution. As the topic director of this year's Forum on Revolution at our Humanities Center, I am thrilled and honored to open our public programming with Palestine Rights. I thank the center and our many other Penn sponsors. I thank our brilliant, brilliant student groups and volunteers, and the many individual colleagues, Penn faculty members, who stepped up and took a stand in support of this festival and in defense of this institution's reputation and integrity. Thank you all. Despite the noise and the distraction and the statements, including the cowardly one that was just sent to you while we were dancing and singing, thank you all for helping preserve some of my faith in this institution and the value of the work we do here. On a personal level, I cannot but dedicate my work here to my partner in poetry and in Palestine, Ahmed Al-Mallah. A poet for whom home and land are difficult, sometimes impossible crossings, Ahmed is a refugee in language where he can recreate the entire world as Palestine. And Palestine is a language. Palestine is a compass, a direction, a moral stand, a work of art, a poem, and perhaps one of the most enduring motifs and metaphors in modern Arabic literature. But before and above all that, Palestine is people who could not be here today. People held at borders and humiliated in embassies and visa queues. Before the posters and the slogans and the great book ideas and the academic careers and the big fancy events, Palestine is when a 15-minute car ride turns into endless hours of roundabout ways and checkpoints. Palestine is people who long to touch their trees and families who go decades, sometimes lifetimes, without holding each other. Palestine is a mother who grows old and dies alone. Children imprisoned, murdered, for standing defenseless in the face of one of the most heavily equipped militaries on this planet. I know that you have heard all this before. Lists like this are rehearsed to you all the time. But listen again. These are not metaphors or cliches or symbols. These are facts of Palestinian life. Facts that collapse my privileged little world every time Ahmed and our daughter Sama set out to visit his mother's grave in the shadow of the grotesque separation wall that suffocates the Haida refugee camp near Bethlehem. From the river to the sea, under occupation, in refugee camps, in the diasporas, and around the world, Palestinians are a people who have been facing the daily brutal injustices of an apartheid regime for the past 75 years. We gather here today and in the coming days in their honor to celebrate their joy, strength, literature, and artistic expression, to thank them for giving us a sense of purpose and teaching us the value of living with dignity, something which, as Ghassan Kanafani will forever continue to remind us, is more precious than life itself. Welcome to Palestine Writes. Ahlan bikum fi Filastina taktub.
Thank you, Huda, for your eloquence, the light of your being, your commitment to truth and poetry, and for everything you've done and mean to this festival. One of the many gifts of this festival has been this new friendship between us, so thank you. We started a publishing arm this year called Palestine Writes Press, headed by Sosan Maddi Darraj. Sosan Maddi Darraj is a brilliant author and member of this organizing collective. Her most recent book, Behind You is the Sea, is coming out soon, and you should pre-order it because it's stunning. Susan worked her butt off for this festival at the same time that she held down a full-time job, finished writing a new book, cared for three teenagers, and showed up for friends in need, as well as painted her new house, among other things. She's the kind of friend who sends you flowers when she sees the exhaustion on your face during a festival organizing Zoom call. Susan is joined by Jinan Abushtaye, a brilliant Palestinian student and scholar here at UPenn, who was instrumental not only in creating Palestine Writes' first book, but also in making this festival happen. Please welcome these two inspiring women to tell you about Palestine Writes Press.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. And thank you, Susan Abulhawa, for your incredible efforts to build this amazing institution of Palestine Writes. Your energy is boundless, and your passion for Palestine and its people and culture are inspiring. I'm proud to play a small role in this endeavor. 2 years ago, after our first successful festival, our organizing committee decided that we needed to do more to promote Palestinian literature in North America. Given the fact that only 11% of books published in the United States are written by people of color, you can imagine how small the percentage is of Palestinian authors in this country. Most of them are probably in this room. So we decided to establish Palestine Writes Press, a traditional independent press, to give Palestinian writers in the diaspora a platform. Our first book is a reintroduction of a biography of Ghassan Kanafani, written by his wife Ani Kanafani shortly after his assassination. We have translated this book into Arabic and completed it with new resources for a modern reader. Thank you to the many people who have been instrumental in the production of this reprint of Ani Kanafani's beautiful tribute to her husband. I want to especially thank Mrs. Kanafani herself, who could not be with us tonight, for trusting us with her work. Thank you to Dr. Fadil Nakib for a poignant foreword to the book, to Louis Alde for his gorgeous introduction, and to this wonderful woman next to me, Janan Abushtaya, for her excellent translation of the book, as well as the foreword and introduction into Arabic. Thank you also to Ibrahim Azza for his invaluable help in the book's layout and design, and to Bill Mullen for his editing and insights into the work.
Thank you, Suzanne. Shukran. It was a pleasure working with you in the book. First and foremost, I would like to thank you, of course, and Huda Fakhreddin for your guidance and support throughout this project. So shukran kteer. It was an honor translating Annie's book into Arabic, especially since the translation speaks to the core mission of Palestine Rights, celebrating our Palestinian culture and heritage, and our Arabic language, an essential part of our Palestinian identity, and of course, a beautiful, beautiful language.
And please stay tuned for our next project, the second project of Palestine Rights Press, which will be an anthology of writing by Palestinians across the diaspora. Stay tuned for that. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Susan and Jinan.
You're listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston since 2002 and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. What we are listening to are some of the remarks delivered at the historic 2023 Palestine Rights Festival, the only North American literature festival dedicated to celebrating and promoting cultural productions of Palestinian writers and artists. It was held on September 22nd through the 24th at the University of Pennsylvania. Let's listen now to the opening remarks of Suzanne Abulhawa, whom I had on this show before. Suzanne is executive director at Palestine Rights. She is a novelist, poet, activist, and scientist. Her first novel, Mornings in Jenin, is considered a classic in Palestinian literature and became an international bestseller, translated into 32 languages, and made Abulhawa one of the most widely read Arab authors in the world.
I want to say a few things about the nature and the impetus for this festival. I had originally planned a much shorter and very different opening remarks, but the hysterical racist conversations and panic over our festival provoked on this campus and beyond compels me to respond. Even though it remains humiliating and demoralizing to persistently be pushed into the position of having to defend one's integrity, one's veracity against such foul accusations, especially when we are the victims. But this is not about one person or a handful of persons, but about our presence in the world as an indigenous people that seems to offend. It's about the fact that we remain proud, unbroken, defiant, honoring our ancestors, even though we are battered, colonized, exiled, robbed, terrorized, and demeaned wholesale. I'll start by saying that Palestine Rights is not an ordinary literature festival. It is not meant to be a gathering of polite or bored society. It is meant to be an urgent cultural landscape to gather our shattered family as much as possible, even if for just one weekend. It is meant to be an intersectional, defiant space where we can exist for a brief moment with agency and with our friends in our refusal to disappear, our refusal to forget or forgo our ancient past, and our refusal to accept the racist tropes that pervade Western imaginations. It is meant to be an intellectual, creative, and joyous space, one that celebrates Palestinian brilliance, provokes thought and introspection and reciprocal solidarity, spurs new understandings and meaningful collaborations, and inspires new generations of writers, artists, scholars, and thinkers. So many of us here have made it our life's work to commit Palestine stories to paper. We mine our fabled ancient past as we do our collective generational traumas for words, sentences, verses, songs, colors, threads, maps, and stones. With great urgency, we collect the memories of our elders for stories from our stolen past and our stolen destiny. Pieces of a broken whole that we are desperate to reassemble, or seeds that we scramble to plant in new soil until we can return home. We can be here only because we stand on the sturdy shoulders of our ancestors and the Palestinian luminaries who came before us. We honor and salute them. We've set up photos of our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents living in Palestine since photography began, an exhibit curated by Ibrahim Al-Azza and Faisal Saleh from the Palestine Museum, along with portraits by Bryce Patterson of a few notable Palestinian writers and scholars, so we might nestle this festival in the warmth of their light, and also in some ways, so they can hold us accountable for the future we are forging. Two of them, Mahmoud Darwish and Najil Ali, contemporaries no longer with us, towering cultural figures whose creative genius gave us the iconic drawings and words that lay pathways and signposts back to Palestine. But while these two giants were united in their love, longing, resolve, and fight to liberate Palestine, they diverged in their opinions on the greater threat to our nation. Najil Ali was fearless in his commitment to truth and liberation. He stared down extraordinary powers without ever flinching, without ever backing down, ever compromising or betraying any part of our collective, no matter the cost to him, which we know was dear. Then he would turn around and draw for us what he saw: the grotesque bodies and mangled spirits of oppressors, colluders, colonizers, capitalists, and normalizers. He was iron-willed in confronting the cruel military, economic, and political powers that coalesced around colonizers against our principally defenseless indigenous society. On the other hand, Mahmoud Darwish was famously less concerned than his contemporaries about the colonizers' military, economic, and political superiority. Rather, he worried about their use of culture to create narratives that would legitimize their conquest and occupation of Palestine. Just as it seemed inconceivable to our parents and grandparents that Europeans could steal an entire country where we are deeply rooted, many of Darwish's contemporaries likewise could not imagine someone actually colonizing our own stories, even memories, because it was, frankly, inconceivable. But Darwish was right. Zionist colonial narratives are always shifting with changing political winds. It went from the original lie of a land without a people for a people without a land, to an explicit colonial endeavor during a time when colonization was the acceptable, even in vogue, order of the day. But when Palestinian existence could no longer be hidden, the narrative shifted to that old racist colonial claim of a fledgling small nation in a sea of dark, irrational, and violent savages, the spirit of which we still hear echoed today in the media about our festival. Then their narrative morphed into yet another absurd claim that Palestine and her people never existed. And now, as Zionists continue to forcibly remove us from our homes, destroy and build over our ancestral villages, cemeteries, and archaeological heritage, they have invented a stunning new tale of indigeneity, propagated in popular culture throughout the West in particular. The falafel, hummus, shakshuka we've eaten for centuries is bizarrely now claimed as the cuisine of this European colony in the heart of Western Asia and North Africa. Our erasure and marginalization in the world, and in this country in particular, coupled with overt and covert racism, is profound, most local media, always eager to cover cultural events in the city, initially had no interest in writing about this historic festival until it was time to investigate us as a threat. A simple article in the Philadelphia Inquirer about Palestinian food recently brought hell down to bear on the newspaper reporter and the reporter who wrote it for daring to give a local Palestinian a few lines of text to lay claim to our culinary heritage. Zionists even pressured Spotify to remove Palestinian songs and only reinstated them after outrage mounted at such racism. Any platform that lists Palestine in a drop-down of countries is quickly pressured to remove it. In open collaboration with Israel, Meta continues to remove or shadow ban Palestinian content on social media, a phenomenon that was verified by an independent investigation commissioned by Facebook itself that revealed unequivocal anti-Palestinian bias. Financial platforms like PayPal have been pressured by Zionists to disallow Palestinians, even the most mundane of transactions. The expression of our existence at this festival is no exception. Those who would rather we did not breathe made endless calls to this university's president, various deans and chairs to express concern about Palestine rights. The ADL, Jewish Federation, ZOA, Hillel, and other organizations launched a letter and email campaigns to the university and its donors, in which they lump anti-Semitism and anti-Israel criticism in the same breath, as if these two concepts are interchangeable. Unfortunately, the university allowed this egregious conflation to go unchallenged, thus affirming their accusations that impugn the integrity and personhood of some of our speakers and organizers. Hysterical and racist accusations that our presence here poses a threat to Jewish students on campus, making them feel unsafe and fearful of wearing their kippahs. Again, this is an old, well-worn colonial script of the violent, dark, irrational, and savage native, which I will not dignify with a response. They paraded digital billboards around campus, photos of us in sinister colors and quotes out of context. Despite taking the unprecedented step of issuing a statement about our festival, the university did not issue a statement about such direct and specific hateful incitement against us. So many of us in this room have had to watch our elders die in refugee camps that aren't fit for rodents, all so they can have an extra country if they want, the violence of which is on full display on this campus every year when Zionists set up their so-called birthright trips, propaganda tours to recruit young American Jews to become our colonizers, tormentors, and lords. None of that ever elicited a statement from the university, nor did anyone from the cast of the actual Israeli war criminals who have come to speak on this campus. But for this event, the first Palestinian literature in North America, well, all hell broke loose. One of the featured speakers, Roger Waters, was told he's not allowed to attend the festival. He is in Philadelphia now, but we're forced to have him join virtually. They'll give you all manners of excuses why, none of which hold water under scrutiny or logic of what they've done in past events. Urgent meetings were had at the university. One anxious department was careful to distance themselves from us, and petitions were created urging the university to repudiate Palestine rights. To the university's credit, they did not do so, at least not in the manner sought. And we are further comforted by the warm support we have received from various departments, faculty, alumni, student groups, including Jewish student groups, and most importantly, from our own community. But the loudest voices continue to denigrate us, from the media, major donors to this university, religious figures, and other influential people whose power dwarfs our tiny, all-volunteer, cash-strapped group drawn from our community on and off this campus. They organized thousands of letters to the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, one of the funders of Palestine Rights Press. In turn, PCA demanded this week that we remove their logo from our website. We did not do so. And I want to be on the record that that was my decision and no one else is responsible for it. I figure those who cave to racism should own their cowardice and own their racism. They're threatening now. They're threatening to sue us now for unauthorized use of their logo, even though our contract specifically requires us to actually use their logo on all published material. A major funder in this city, the William Penn Foundation, made us jump through hoops over the span of a year, hundreds of hours of labor, 3 separate applications, and 3 rejection letters. We were given wrong information once, given contradictory and evasive answers next, and told, quote, "But we think it's great that you're trying to humanize Palestinians," unquote. To be sure, nothing at this festival is about humanizing ourselves, ostensibly for those who cannot fathom our humanity. Rather, Palestine Rights aims to impose our humanity, our roots, our existence and presence in the world and in history because we refuse erasure. This is the real reason for the uproar. Here, in a center of power at an Ivy League school, we gather in the fullness of our unity, our beauty, and our undeniable ancient past and belonging and unbroken belonging to that singular patch of land between the River Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea, wresting the reins of our own stories away from colonial narratives that cast a mirage of their mythologies and their benevolence over our actual lived experiences and actual histories, and over the ineffable collective pain we feel as a dislocated, dispossessed, colonized, and shattered people. Our love and loyalty to our ancestors, to the land itself, to each other, will never yield to the unrelenting violence, plunder, and racism we have endured and continue to endure at the hands of Zionists. We will continue to show up in this way, with dignity, humility, and the splendor of our indigenous traditions, food, clothing, stories, music, and art. Like all peoples of the world, Palestinians passed through shifting identities and various evolutions of material culture, industries, economies, habits, religions, names, social, and even genetic character. We will bring these messy histories to the fore over the course of this weekend to complicate the tidy, fantastical, and ahistorical fairy tale that pervades popular Western discourse. We have speakers from all parts of Palestine, Haifa and other parts of 48, Al-Quds, Gaza, Al-Daffa, and from our exiled diaspora all over the world. We can never gather like this in our own homeland, and it is an honor to be a part of this endeavor that aims to bring us together across geographic, linguistic, and generational divides. Palestine Rights is about radical truth-telling. It's about agency and a long-suffering indigenous people, people struggle to live unmolested by those who are more powerful. We have a glorious ancient past that is mostly untold, or at least unheard. We aim to be part of a process that unshackles these stories and redeems our history. I want to say something about the food at this festival also. Everything we sell or serve here, including private dinners for speakers, is not only Palestinian, but also wholly plant-based. Although unpopular, I took executive liberty in this decision, as it is my belief that the industrialized terrorism of factory farming should be repudiated at every turn, especially by those who themselves seek liberation. And I believe that the proverbial 2020 hindsight will show that we were ahead of our time in making this small effort to institutionalize compassion for those who have no power and no voice at all. I want to close with an excerpt that was brought to my attention by Bassam Abunnadi. It's a short entry from the diary of a missionary from the early 20th century, describing an ordinary moment in the lives of our ancestors during the early hours of what was likely a typical crisp and sunny autumn day in Palestine. Quote, 1,000 reapers, gleaners, and carriers were abroad and busy when the morning sun shot its first rays down through the olive trees upon the animated groups. The wheat and barley grew among the olive trees, which half hid, half revealed the merry harvesters, men, women, and children. The first reaping, the second gleaning and guiding the loaded camels, and the children at play or watching the flocks and herds, which were allowed to follow the gleaners. But no description can reproduce such a tableau. It must be seen, heard, and enjoyed to be appreciated. We cannot go or take you to Palestine, but we hope to help you see, hear, enjoy, and appreciate the indigenous heritage of one of the most fabled and tortured places on earth, Palestine. On behalf of our amazing and committed organizing committee, our volunteers, partners, funders, and sponsors, welcome. We hope this festival will leave you feeling invigorated, enriched, inspired, seen, loved, and for some of you, perhaps also challenged. Thank you.
That was Suzan Abulhawa, Executive Director at Palestine Rights, delivering the opening remarks at the Palestine Rights Festival, held on September 22nd through the 24th at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I plan on airing more remarks and spoken words delivered at that festival during future episodes of Arab Voices. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. Our shows are archived online, and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.